Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Umbody. With me is Sonny Shipp on this edition. We're getting ready for LSU's spring game on Saturday, noon, in Tiger Stadium on SEC Network Plus. So check it out on the ESPN app or wherever you stream. You can also watch it whenever you want afterwards if you can't watch it at noon, have other things to do. But hopefully you guys are following along on go247.com with us as we get really our first look at LSU in a live atmosphere with two new coordinators, a quarterback competition, guys moving around positions. We've got a lot to see on Saturday, and it's exciting to get football back. We missed the spring game last year with everything. And Sonny, I know there's the quarterback competition to certainly keep an eye on, but what are you most interested in seeing on Saturday as this spring game gets underway and spring ball wraps up?
Probably the trenches, the O-line and the D-line, and just to kind of just get a feel for, a feel for how they look, as far as, you know, how much weight they've lost, and things like that. I'm not expecting a ton of changes, but I think that'd give us an idea of, of where they are at this stage of the offseason program, as well as give us an idea and give us a look at that that second team offensive line should some of those guys be elevated at some point in the season due to injury or whatever.
Yeah, I'm with you, I think, and I was talking with somebody about this yesterday. For me, the offensive line is the one that I'm watching as well, just because you have a group that, you know, all five starters return and they weren't particularly good in 2020. You know, weight questions, conditioning, all of that to start off the year, especially. I want to see them crisp. I want to see them play a clean game. And we know that LSU's defensive line has, from what it seems like, based on what Ed Ogeron is saying, what sources are saying, they've had a really strong spring and had their way with the offensive line to an extent this spring. So when the lights come on, so to speak, how will LSU's offensive line look? That's my big question. You know, James Craig gets another year with these guys. Do we see somebody like Garrett Dellinger, you know, show some signs of being a good prospect for them down the line? How's Charles Turner look in the backup center role? Cam Wire, Anthony Bradford, two guys that, you know, have played some and are certainly, you know, I would say battling and competing for a chance to start, at least, you know, especially Anthony Bradford at right guard. Those guys, how they look. I mean, that there's a lot of questions on the offensive line, and, you know, I think it's a good opportunity for them to show what they can do. And now, if you look at the defensive line, to build off your point, you know, who plays is what's going to be interesting, because Glenn Logan's been nicked up. Neil Farrell has had a really strong spring, but he was nicked up a little bit. Does Ollie Gay play? You know, we saw some of the guys get held out from the scrimmage last weekend. So who plays on that defensive line, I think, will play a role in that to an extent. But I tell you what, with all the reviews about Joe Evans being so positive and Mason Smith being, you know, a natural, so to speak, I want to see those two guys and see how they fit in right off the bat as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. You know, we don't really need to see what Glenn Logan and Neil Farrell and those guys. And that just gives you an example of how deep the interior is on that side of the ball. You know, you mentioned Joe Evans and Mason Smith, and that's not even counting Jaquelin Roy and Jacobian Guillory, you know, who entered their sophomore season, their second year with the program now. And then, you know, you toss in a Farrell Then you get into a guy like Eric Taylor, who redshirted last year, and there's just so much depth on that defensive interior. And then then you look at the edge, and what about the edge guys? You know, BJ Ojulari, Andre Anthony, Phillip Webb's a guy who, presuming he's healthy, he should get he should get his most extended snaps that we will have seen of him, since he's been in Baton Rouge. So, a lot of newcomers that, Dwight McLaughlin, your boy, good to see him, he'll get extended reps and stuff. So, and then Jay Ward at safety, what's Jay Ward look like at safety? I think he's going to be a tremendous boost, to the defense, unless he falls flat on his face and doesn't play like he did last year. I think he's going to be an absolute upgrade back there at the safety position, and at an area that, that outside of Todd Harris, you don't really have anyone who has seen any, anything even close to extended playing time.
Yeah. The secondary, and especially the safety spots, are the two that I'm most interested in. And, you mentioned Dwight McLaughlin having a really, really good spring. Ed Ogeron singled him out with the extended time he's gotten, playing where Eli Ricks would normally be. And those two spots with Derek Stingley and Eli Ricks are going to be, among the best in the country as far as those two guys playing them. So, a little bit of depth with Dwight McLaughlin being there and having a really good spring. And then Cordell Flott at the nickel, I think the way he plays on Saturday could give us a little bit of a glimpse to see maybe, okay, when a Sage Ryan gets in here, or some of the other safety depth gets in here, could LSU continue to try to evaluate options at the nickel? And then safety, Todd Harris has been nicked up, but we get our first look at Derek Davis, the top 100 prospect who arrived in January to go through spring ball and play the safety position. How has Jordan Tolles looked? Jay Ward, you mentioned at the safety position after moving over from corner. That's a group that is going to be, certainly watched closely. And then you have Damone Clark at linebacker, who's had a really good spring. And then on top of that, they added Bug Strong, the number one junior college inside linebacker in the country. I want to see how he looks, because again, kind of in the same sense of like Jay Ward, and maybe to an extent Cordell Flott, how he plays could really change the perception of the room before you add in Mike Jones Jr., before you hopefully, if you're LSU, get Micah Baskerville back, and they'll add Greg Penn the third over the summer as well. But how Bug Strong plays and how Damone Clark looks, those two could be really telling as far as the linebacker competition goes.
Yeah, and that's an area that you don't have a lot of depth at either. And so Damone Clark wore number 18 last year. Didn't have the didn't have the type of season that we've grown accustomed to with that number 18 jersey. And, so how much has he turned the corner? How much has Blake Baker been able to do with him in a short amount of time? And then the same thing with Bug Strong, number one JUCO inside linebacker in the country coming in this spring. And granted, this is just going off of his junior college film and what we've seen, a thumper inside, maybe, not as adept at dropping into pass coverage. So, you have to assume that he's going to get plenty of times to drop into coverage in the spring game. So how does he play in space? How does he, how is he when he is, out of his comfort zone, meaning that, third and four, he thinks they're going downhill. And so, those are some more things that we'll get a glimpse of, and really be able to kind of start giving you an idea of looking, when you look ahead to the summer and then the fall camp when that full roster gets into town.
Yeah, 100%. And then you get, another kind of budding competition here that we're really starting to see is wide receiver. Ed Ogeron didn't exactly talk up that group in a way. You've got Kayshon Boutte. You've got some guys that have done good things this spring, like Trey Palmer's kind of shown some improvement. Coy Moore's shown some improvement. But Tre Jenkins was out for a bit. John Trey Kirkland has flashed. Deion Smith hasn't practiced until this week, and he's the number one player in Mississippi and is a early enrollee looking to, you know, earn some reps for himself before the summer signees get here. And so I think the receiver room, and then you add in Devonta Lee showing out as of late there, the receiver room might be the most, I would say, intriguing of all the battles, just because you know what's coming in the summer with guys like Chris Hilton, Brian Thomas Jr. You have Malik Nabers. You have all these guys that they signed in the 2021 class, Jack Besh, that can come in and compete and try to push these guys. And, you know, if nobody makes a move really in spring ball, that position gets even, you know, more wide open in a sense for other guys to step up. So I'm really intrigued to see what the wide receiver room will look like as well with these four quarterbacks who are trying to show their stuff.
Yeah, I think wide receiver and safety, you can look at those two areas and you say, okay, what you have right now, what you see right now is nothing like it was going to, like it's going to look like when the rest of the 2021 class enroll for the summer. Because you mentioned wide receiver, you got Chris Hilton, Jack Besh, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas Jr. Those four guys aren't in there right now. Deion Smith, like you mentioned, alluded to as well, he hasn't seen a lot of time this spring, but what you can see of him is, man, he is big, he is physical, and he looks the part. And so when you add these four new guys into there, and then you look at safety, you know, you look at your safety room right now of Jay Ward, Todd Harris, Derek Davis Jr., Jordan Tolles, and Cam Lewis. Well, all of a sudden, you know, when you add Matthew Lachelet and you add Sage Ryan to it, all of a sudden you go from a situation of barely being able to field, you know, four safeties for a spring game to looking at it saying, okay, the depth may not be quite as bad as we, you know, as we thought it was going to be now with Jay Ward back there and with this influx of talent coming in. So those two areas right there are ones that, you know, that I think are going to benefit the most when everybody gets on campus this summer. And, you know, and with that said, I also think that those two areas are probably the two where you can see the most evolution coming from, or, you know, the most influx of talent that is going to help that specific area. And I think out of all of them, wide receiver, you know, I think you nailed it on that is a position that is just, Ed Orgeron is almost begging someone to step up. It doesn't appear that Jontre Kirkland or Jare Jenkins have kind of grabbed the reins from the playing time that they got last year. And that's not to say that they can't. I mean, there's still plenty of time. There's a lot of practice in football that's going to take place between now and, you know, the beginning of August when they report to campus. I mean, when they report for fall camp. So, but yeah, I'm with you, man. That wide receiver position, I think, has a lot of bodies coming in that's going to really add a lot to that room.
Completely agree. And you mentioned Coach O begging people to step up. The running back room, especially at the beginning of spring, before kind of the injuries mounted with Ty Davis Price being held out for a bit, Kevontre Bradford being held out for a bit, John Emery in a non-contact, that's a group that he wanted to really step up. Ty Davis Price appears healthy. Seems like he's going to get the lion's share of the carries on Saturday as far as guys are looking for, you know, them to step up. This is a chance for him to stake a claim really to that starting running back role, because John Emery is still recovering from that shoulder surgery. You have Josh Williams, who's a former walk-on who came on at the end of the year. Kevontre Bradford's battled some injuries here and there in spring. So, you know, again, a group with two highly touted freshman running backs coming in the summer that need to step up. But I think and we can kind of end on this, you know, the quarterback competition is going to be so interesting to see how they handle it on Saturday. Cause when we look at the schedule of the game, you know, noon kickoff, seems like they're going to go for roughly about 2 hours from what we've kind of gathered based on, you know, press conference time, post game, things like that. This is, there's a lot of reps to be split up with the ones between or among, you know, Miles Brennan, TJ Finley, Max Johnson, and Garrett Nussmeier. But, you know, the way the buzz has gone with Garrett Nussmeier, I mean, this is going to be an exciting, you know, four quarterback showing on Saturday. And it's obviously going to get the most buzz, too.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to get a lot of buzz. It's going to give give most their first look at Garrett Nussmeier, who, like you alluded to, has drawn rave reviews with his work this spring. And I think the key is that, you know, Ed Orgeron and Jake Peets, it appears that they've done a good job of managing this quarterback battle so far. And going into what will be the last of the 15 practices, you almost just want to see them not mess it up. And by not mess it up, I mean, you know, is just continue what they've done so far. Make it equal reps, even though you're getting into a game-like situation in Tiger Stadium. You know, you could potentially have more fans there than you had at any game this season. And so when you get in that setting, when you get in that environment, is just do what you've done so far. You know, let the players dictate, you know, let the players dictate what happens to an extent. But just because somebody gets the hot hand, you know, don't just give them the reins and let them go with it. Keep the competition the way that it is. Make it a competition, and almost to where when you in spring, you have all four of them just wanting a little bit more. And I think if that happens, and if they can, you know, and if they can get into the summer to when the quarterbacks really start throwing with the wide receivers, and there's no, there's no separation amongst the four guys, you know, the four guys are still hanging out. The four guys are still doing everything that they've been doing. It's because you really want to get this room into fall camp the way that it is right now. And I think that presents a difficult challenge in itself for Ed Orgeron and Jake Peets.
And the thing that Ed Orgeron kind of hammered home about this, you know, the offense on Saturday, and it's going to be pretty vanilla from what he said, but he wants them to just do the simple stuff, the base set of plays. They're not going to overcomplicate stuff. You know, it is Garrett Nussmeier's first time in, you know, really, really live action. I know they've scrimmaged and things like that, but you know, the lights are on, it's, you know, going to be on TV to an extent. It's a chance for him to show what kind of the buzz is all about. And then you've got these guys that are, you know, not learning a new playbook. A lot of the terminology is going to be the same just because, you know, Steve Ensminger had some of Joe Brady stuff and, you know, Jake Peets brought in much of Joe Brady's offense, but just how they deal with the bullets flying, how they deal with, you know, the simple things. And sometimes, you know, being a really good offense is just about doing the simple things well. And I think Ed Orgeron's looking for somebody who has command over that. And that's probably for me, what I'm looking for the most. I mean, you've seen Miles Brennan had some success early on in his starts before he got hurt. You know, it was kind of a mixed bag, but still was really productive. TJ Finley was kind of a mixed bag. And then Max Johnson had a really good finish to the 2020 season. So how those guys have progressed since then with an entire offseason and spring, that's what I'm looking for, is them to play, again, kind of a clean spring football game. And you know, we'll see how the quarterback battle rages on over the next few months.
Yeah. And that's all you want. And that's what you want, is you want the battle to just, you know, you want the battle to rage on. No one benefits from, no one benefits from Ed Orgeron coming out and saying, okay, you know, we've had 15 practices in the spring. We've got, when you include football school, maybe another, I don't know what, 40, 50, 60 before the start of the season. So no one benefits by him coming out and saying, you know, that, hey, Max Johnson's going to be our starter, or Miles Brennan's going to be our starter, or TJ Finley, or what have you. And so just keep it a competition, and just, you know, keep this camaraderie that a lot of the players have talked about this spring, with the new coaches coming in, with so many guys who got some experience last year back, a year older, a year wiser, physically advanced in their conditioning, and just see these guys just continue to gel as a team. And while, Bill, we would be remiss if we did not say, leave the spring game without injuries, because someone would blame us for that.
Yes, that's the most important thing, is everybody just stay healthy and,
no headlines.
Yep. No headlines. Don't need to be covering any breaking news or chasing any
breaks or anything.
Yep. Exactly. So, well, we all hope that you guys have a good time watching the spring game as well, and stay safe doing so if you're partying it up on a nice Louisiana Saturday or something like that. And you can catch us next time on the Go 24/7 podcast. We'll be recapping the LSU spring game, any notable recruiting news as well. And we'll be here for you guys as the off season really gets underway with recruiting as well. So leave us a rating, leave us a review, and follow us wherever you listen to your podcast. And we'll be there for you with episodes multiple times a week throughout the summer. So with that, guys, hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.